July 10, 2023, it's the Walk for Pedro show.
Thank you.
for Pedro Show. Happy Monday. Start off with John Coltrane. Well, actually, John Coltrane ain't playing because there's a bass solo by his bass man, Jimmy Garrison. 1962, November 22nd. Training In is the tune. And Jimmy, of course, part of the classic quartet. And then Your Food with Leave. And because of those Skype engineers in Estonia, I got with me after a long time of not spieling with each other. Brother Wolf Knapp. Welcome aboard, Brother Wolf.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Absolute. I mean, we go way back. Yeah, you were saying off air, you saw some Minutemen shows and stuff like that. Those are the times, that's when I met you.
That's right. I used to work the door at Maxwell's, and I came up early to catch soundcheck. And after soundcheck, D came up to me at the back bar and said, you know anywhere where a band could stay tonight? And I said, there's a Motel 6 down by the Holland Tunnel. And he said, no, cheaper than that. So I said, well, I got my apartment. And that's what happened. You guys started crashing in my apartment.
I think at that time, and it wasn't even Todd Abram thing. I think maybe Ira Kaplan was booking in those days.
Yes, I think that's right.
Yeah. So go, people, that's Yole Tango Boss.
That's right. And he was Ira Ran Sound.
Right. I think he might have started as sound man, but you might have taken his place as he moved to Booker.
No, I worked the door for a few years, and then I actually moved to the city.
Okay.
And,
let's don't get to that yet, because I want to start as far back as you can remember. Bring your earliest musical memory, please.
Okay. My earliest musical memory of me engaging with music was playing the instrument called the recorder. We had several recorders around the house because my mother used to play it. And I had actually figured out how to read a little bit of music. And there was one piece called La Pavane, which is a French country dance that I figured out. It was about 8 bars long. And I would just play that over and over and over again.
Now, people, this recorder isn't a device to capture sounds. This is actually a diatonic kind of flute thing.
Yeah, you blow through it. You blow through it straight. It's a straight instrument, like a clarinet or something. But yeah, it operates like a flute. But it's a lot easier to play than a flute. It's very easy.
Because you don't blow across a hole. It has kind of a mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Kind of. You know, it's meant for kids getting started in music, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. You blow into the mouthpiece, but then you're right. It does like the air glides over. An angle.
So it helps out, yeah. I mean, you learn to do that with your lip, with the flute.
Yeah.
To be a flautist, right? You're not a flutist, you're a flautist. Now, you answered my question about instruments in the pad where you grew up. Was there anything else besides recorder?
At some point along the line, we picked up my great-grandmother's lap steel guitar, on which she played Swedish hymns, where she lived in Wisconsin, and in Ohio also, I think.
Okay.
And I still have that. Ultimately, when I left home, I kind of grabbed that, and I had it set up to make it playable. It's kind of rough, but I got it. It's a resonator guitar.
Well, one good thing about lap steel, the action can be high, and it's okay.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, right, over the fret, not behind the fret.
Mm-hmm.
Nels Klein's pretty good at it. It's way different than the pedal steel. Some people confuse, they're completely different. Okay, actually, there was the first electric stuff, in the 30s. They called them Hawaiian guitars. Oahu was an amp manufacturer and stuff like that because of that kind of...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. In school, were you in the marching band or the choir, shit like that?
Well, I had one attempt in fourth grade. I'll just get this out here. Like, I got a terrible ear for pitch. I can't sing, but I just kept trying to do something and figured I'd be a good violinist. So I tried to play violin in the orchestra, and I was last chair, second section. And the director told me to just sort of pretend to play during the concert. So that tells you something.
Yeah. Whoa, that guy should find another job. What about first record you bought with your own money?
That would be Bad Bad Leroy Brown by Jim Croce, 1973.
D. Boone was into Jim Croce. He liked that Time in the Bottle, too. What was the first gig you saw, live music?
Okay, well, the family went to see Seals and Crofts at an outdoor concert in Memphis, Tennessee. This would be 75, but, you know, that's that.
No, 74. I saw Seals and Crofts at the California Jam.
Oh, yeah.
They're one of the only bands that got a fucking encore. It was terrible, but people were digging it. They were singing, the encore was something where they would just be hollering, Suey, you know what you call pigs.
Yeah. My other memory from that was that my dad walking around, you know, really excited because he could smell people smoking marijuana and going like, ooh, what's that? What's that?
At California Jam, you could smell a lot of piss, too, because there wasn't enough heads. People were just pissing in the ground. Yeah, it got a little soggy.
Yeah, nice.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
You gave me a paper kind of prepping me on your history.
Yes.
There is a point where you get a guitar with the amp built in the case. Dan Electro made these for Sears called Silvertone.
And right.
Yeah, okay. Let the listeners know about this development musically.
Okay. So what happened there was my best friend was a guy named John Bailey. And, you know, we were just basically bored together and decided we should get guitars. So we went down to Guitar Emporium, which was an amazing establishment.
Bardstown Road.
That's right.
And very lots of righteous fucking old-timey stuff there for many years, yeah.
Yes, old-timey and affordable good used instruments, which is what serviced the whole Louisville punk scene for decades. So we went down there, and Jimmy Brown sold us Silvertone guitars with the amp in the case. We had just checked that John's older sister had gone to college. We raided her record collection and pulled out Cream, Spirit, and the Velvet Underground with Nico. Cream and Spirit were just too confusing and complicated for us, but the Velvets, that kind of made sense to us. So we started covering songs from that first Velvets album. That's what got us started.
I think I got a line on you's got just two parts, though. Right? And then the chorus, right? I think that's it. But what was trippy about that band, I got to do two benefit gigs with Randy California. But he was a teenager then, and his stepdaddy, Ed Cassidy, I think his name was, and he was like 40, 50 years older than him.
Oh.
Yeah, that was trippy. And he had come out of the jazz scene to join the rock scene. And they're a trippy band. They're still in litigation with Jimmy Page for stealing that Stairway to Heaven song, right?
Well, yeah, Jimmy Page got stuff from a lot of places.
He ended up having to pay Willie Dixon, I know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so is this a band or is it just you guys jamming together to records?
Well, this is what you would refer to as a basement band.
Yeah.
We gave ourselves a name. We were the Afters because we came after everything, you know. As if you're just discovering punk rock, you kind of feel like it's the beginning of the world and the end of the world.
You, in those days, things changed a lot faster. So, like, 1 year later, it's like, fuck. Yeah, I mean, really. And then about, I don't know, late 80s, it starts plateauing out, right? But, man, those first years of the movement, It changed so fast. So I could see you saying that. Yeah, even being a year or two, you're Johnny Come Lately or something.
Yes, we were.
Okay, now you remember the first Afters gig?
The Afters never gigged.
Okay, so it wasn't that kind of band.
No, it was just basement and a garage.
But sometimes garage and basement bands actually do gigs.
Yeah, it's true. We never made it that far.
Like me and D. Boom, we never did until Reactionaries, yeah.
Okay, yep. So that band never gigged, but that band was crucially important because during our rehearsal of I'm Waiting for My Man, Andrew and John told me that I should switch the bass so my mistakes would be less noticeable. So that's how I feel in my heart that I would have ended up on base anyways, but that was the...
Yeah,
the
but how good were those guys? What about their mistakes?
I didn't know enough to call out their mistakes, so, you know.
Yeah, because that's... And, man, if you're going to, like, help the band along, you're really going to... But anyway, I'm glad you moved to bass because all bands need a bass anyway. That poor, lonely kick drum, huh?
That's right. Okay. That's right.
And, okay, do you remember the... Now, were you guys writing songs or just trying to copy Velvet Underground?
We were just trying to copy the Velvet Underground, and we stumbled. You know, we had a riff or two we would play. But this is all leading to Leaves, the song you open with. That was the first song that John and I completed, and that was when we had a real band, which was what came after the Afters.
Yeah, because this is an Afters. It's listed as Your Food.
Yeah, so that was on the Your Food album. There's kind of a pre-Your Food band called Orangey Orangey, which it was going to be Orange Orange, but we decided to be weird and leave the A out of it. But anyways, that was three of us who became Your Food, plus a drummer named Terry Barr, who's she was a good drummer, and she's a great singer, and she was in some great bands around Louisville. But anyways, Orangey Orangey was then that mutated into Your Food.
Let's play some Your Food. Corners.
Okay, great.
I'm sneaking, yeah, I'm sneaking in the sand every night. I'm thinking, always thinking of the struggle, of the fight. Are you sneaking? Are you blinking? Is the sand in your eyes? Sneaking, are you sneaking in the sand every night?
私こそが最高のメンテであるような眠りを飲んで、眠りが最高のメンテであるような死を締め、絶好はその力を失い、混ぜても混ぜても反応を起こさない。学校で教わったような熱は出ない。あれはただの体温だったのだ。いつまでも真実で現実でドロドロのままだ。 AQ1.73 特急は .64 正確に測ってもトロトロ歌い出してしまう。ひしゃげた未来の天気がいつも氷の混ざった線とアイブスの恐怖。鉛筆を削るようにアメリカ人を削り、使えるようになったシャミの糸巻き。穴を埋めつべく掘り進む、ついには裏側に至るか。ああ服の外はレイド、レイドのビジョンの無理さ。宇宙バスは南の潮で、いないサイ君は出版し、モノクロのカモメはマナティの夫を見る。ナースコールのように波は来る。いつかのいつかの防波堤で、差別を溶かしたクズ湯の中に、セロセロと入れてみせた希望。出勤まであと6時間、6時間で復活せよ。
Walk for Pedro. Show that chunk of music. Start off with Your Food doing Corners. And brand new from Wolf Eyes, Engaged Withdrawal. Here's some stuff. Jella sent me Alternative Tentacles, right? Alvi and the Breakfast Pigs with Tokyo. From Mexico, DMFK, Dane Peligro. No, really, Dame, huh? Give me danger. Ah, like the Stooges song, right? Dame Peligro. And there's some more, too. But right there's some. Because I also put in, I got music from John Wright from No Means No. He started a new project called Dead Bob. And this tune, Just Breathe. Van Goat. These are buddies of Jealous. Bad Boy Drunk. From Fukuoka. There's a Portland cat who moved over there. Adam. Crying in my keen moogie. Keen is gold, I think. Doug Wimbish, great bass man. Sugar Hill Gang, right? Mark Stewart Mafia. Actually said no to the Rolling Stones. Damn. Days from his solo album. DTR Mike Watt. This is me with some Ohio guys. And the singer man's from Japan. Tori. Tori also means bird. Revive in 6 hours. And then finally, Your Food, something live. Burger. Hippest is shit, Brother Wolf.
I didn't guess that. Was that a question?
No, it was a appeal. Hippest is shit. Enlighten us. Because, yeah, I don't really know about Your Food. I know you through Antietam.
Oh, right. Yeah, so Your Food, we were in Louisville. So we got Charles Schultz in on drums. That finalized the lineup.
Peanuts?
Well, he spells his last name differently, and, you know, he really got tired of people saying that every time, but yes, he used Charles Schultz, not that same guy.
There was a music man, though, right? Linus, there was a piano man.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think it's, yeah, Peanuts is a very musical.
Yeah, but you can tell it's 50s, because, like, nobody's, the only music guy is some guy taking piano lessons. There's no bands, no garage band, no basement band.
Yeah.
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 Pretty dated, huh? Okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's okay. But anyway, so Your Food, we were for a couple years in Louisville. We rehearsed all the time because there's nothing else to do.
What about tour?
Was it?
What about tour?
We did a little bit of touring. We made it up to Maxwell's. We made it up to The Rat in Boston. In D.C., we played D.C., not the 930, but kind of a lot thing. And then
Chicago a lot closer? Because, isn't Chicago a lot closer than the Eastern Seaboard? Because a lot of cats from Louisville end up in Chicago later, right?
Yeah, that's true, but we never worked that out.
I think those cats, because you mentioned David Grubbs, you know, the squirrel bait, Bob Mould for stuff, but then it becomes Slint, right? I think it's the Slint people that end up going to Chicago.
Yeah, this is like a connection there. I mean, the free.
I know it happened. It happened Pedro too. You know, waves come at different times, but they think since it's the same town, you're all together. But when the Minutemen was going, there was no other Pedro punk rockers hardly ever, and then it would come in different waves. Yeah, so I kind of understand.
Yeah. Oh, so our first gig with your food gig was at Kentucky Country Day School. Which is a private school in suburban Louisville, and opening for us was David Grubbs' first band, and I'm pretty sure it was his first gig, and, I mean, he's younger than me, so I think he must, if I was 16, he was 12 or something, so.
Yeah, Squirrel Bait, I know he was young. I know he was young, because I remember Bob, because we met the Hooskers, you know, and put out their first record, Land Speed Record, so I knew a little bit about the thing. They're seen a little bit, and I remember Bob telling me about producing this record by these kids in Louisville.
Yeah, yeah. This band that he was in was before Squirrel Bait.
But I think the one Bob did was Squirrel Bait.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. That was a good record. I like that. It was exciting to see stuff coming out of
then
Louisville.
He ends up playing with these guys I play with in Italy years later. I think he teaches in Brooklyn now. David Grubbs,
That sounds right.
Yeah. Trippy about that stuff. And Jim O'Rourke, right? He does Gaster in Chicago and stuff. Jim Bao's a citizen of Japan. Okay, so how'd that first gig go?
People were the audience was confused. We felt like we did a good job, though. You know, we played our originals, our post-punk sort of style originals, and, you know, we were pretty loud and tight enough. A few people danced, but I think people were kind of confused.
Okay, that's kind of a success, I think.
Yeah.
And then how long does your food go?
We go through the first of the year of 1984, basically. So we recorded and released the album Poke It With a Stick in 1983, self-released on streaming Whoredog Records, which was the nickname self-given to our patron, kind of, and she's on the cover of the record. So then 83, we toured to DC. On the way back, the van first broke down in Western, in Virginia. We got it fixed, and then we made it to like West Virginia, and it broke again. And we stayed overnight in the van eating, you know, cans of beans from the supermarket. And John's dad came out with their Ford Granada and towed the van back to Louisville. And a few other things happened, and we all just kind of went off to do different things after that. It just felt like we were done.
Yeah, yeah. Man, that's a tow job, West Virginia. Where? Yeah. Like Morgantown or?
I can't remember.
Okay. But it was somewhere. Before. That's quite of a haul.
It would have been I-64.
Right, I-64.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anytime you got to tow the boat, oh, wow.
But, well, we bought that van for $250.
Yeah, okay.
and we used to line up 10 gallons of oil along the back, in the back of it, and put in a gallon of oil with every tank.
A gallon or a quart?
No, a gallon.
That's 4 quarts.
I know, it's crazy.
Yeah, but most motors hold 5 quarts, okay? So, well, you know, 6 if you count the filter.
Okay.
So that's like changing the fucking oil with every tank. But yeah. You know what? You're burning that oil. That means it's going through the rings, coming out the tailpipe. Look, I was on an England tour with this guy. It was burning a quart a day. But, man, that a gallon a tank, that's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. The mechanic who looked at the van said, you guys shouldn't even be alive, basically.
Well, that, I was going to say, it's better than rolling it, right?
Yeah.
You know, they always say, don't cheap out on the brakes or the tires, because if the motor stops, at least, you're safe.
Yep. Yeah. So that was the end of your food. We all kind of went off to do different things. I went to Vermont, and honestly, like, I continued to play with my roommate, but didn't. I really kind of thought I was done with bands and things like that. My roommate and I did get kicked out of the same hippie bar in Burlington twice for playing Muddy Waters apparently the wrong way, but also much too loud.
This is the. I think later on, this is the town Fish comes from.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. And that bar, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's still there. It probably still has a Monday Night Blues jam.
Okay. Well, they got to figure out the blues because they got it wrong. There's major chord. Listen to Lead Belly. I mean, it's happy. Miles Davis said he never got sad listening to blues. Look, it's the end of first hour, July 10, 2023 edition. Wap Peters for special guest Wolf Knapp. Hold tight for hour 2. July 10, 2023, it's second hour of Wap from Pedro's show.
nothing. Swimming in an empty river, but no one ever drowned. I heard it too. Calling out, come on up. Bank is cool and green. When that train pulled out of the station, you best be on it. This is no plastic army. Fall into a great pit, holding hands. Yeah, you said it. That's right.
Pedro Show. Start off the second hour. Antietam doing Gospel According to John B. Sloop John B., right?
That's a reference to John Bailey from Your Food, actually.
Oh, okay. This, I think Tan's... No, no. Somebody wrote it for Brian Wilson. Or wrote it with him.
Yeah.
No, what's his name? Van Dyke Parks.
Yeah.
I met him at a benefit. Funny man.
Yeah.
But I think they wrote the words together, or maybe Van Dyke part brought it. But nothing to do with your food guy, I'm sorry. But that's trippy about music, things like that. Luke Stewart and Jarvis Earshot Quartet. Luke Stewart, great bassman. That's for you, Brother Wolf.
All right.
Canopsia, Chicago, too. That scene. Yeah. Tim Mackey. I got turned on to him by another bassman who was on the show. Laura Steinberg and Victoria Chang after that was a love song for a woman named Mia. That's live. Laszlo and the Hidden Strength with When They Made Me a Child. And finally, Antietam, MV Augusta. Okay, Story of Antietam.
All right.
Bring it.
I'm in Vermont kind of trying to figure out what to do with my young adult life. And my mentors, Terry Key and Tim Harris from Louisville, they had been in an incredible band called the Babylon Dance Band, which was the first great punk band that I saw. That really turned my life around. Me and John Bailey went to see them and just knew what we needed to do with their lives. They had left Louisville and were living in Hoboken and called me up in Vermont and asked if I wanted to move to Hoboken and start a new band with them. So I said, I have to think about it. Handed the phone to my roommate for about a minute and a half and then took the phone back and said, okay, I'm in. Moved down to my roommate and I moved down to Hoboken and started rehearsals with Tim and Tara in Antietam on Derby Day 1984.
I played a few Derby Days. Stooligans on Bardstown.
Oh, my God, that was your food's home base. It was about three doors down from the punk house in which
yeah.
I lived.
Oh, God, okay. And, like, you don't go on stage till 3 or 4 in the morning. They're playing the spoons game with me, beating, putting knots in the back of my head. I didn't realize how that game worked. But, yeah. Okay, so can you remember the – because this is how I know you, is Antietam. So how far along were you guys when Minuteman? It's 84, right? So you're
84,
like...
so Double Nickels is coming out.
Right. Oh, is it that summer, that tour, 84? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay. In Louisville, obviously, I had started with Paranoid Time and worked forward from there.
Well, that's the first record.
Yeah. But
you couldn't go beyond before that.
My son just got me a T-shirt with the What Makes a Man Start Fires graphic on the front, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, that's like the fourth record or something. That's the first full. You know what's strange about that record? It's the only one where I wrote all the music.
Really?
I wouldn't shoot you, Brother Wolf. Yeah, because I was having a knee surgery, so I'm the guy who was at home.
Okay.
Remember, in those days, we're making records every 6 months. They're like kind of like flyers to get gigs with. It's completely opposite from the racket, the big leagues. Okay, when was the first Antietam gig?
I think our first gig was at CBGB, opening for the Human Switchboard.
Ohio.
So opening meaning playing after them. So,
yeah, that's the way CBGB worked.
Like 1 or 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And the Human Switchboard had Bernie Worrell guesting that night.
Whoa, I got to record with him.
What's that?
I got to record with him one time. I also did a live gig where we were doing Maggot Brain, you know, and he stops the band. He says, what? Solo. And I was like, what? Yeah, it was in K-Town. Bullet theater all packed, and I shit a pecan log. I did my best. He's a nice man. Yeah. He was beautiful. I was going to get to do a whole album with him when the cancer got him. Yeah. Okay. So, now there's two basses.
Yes. So.
Talk about this.
Go ahead.
No, let's play. Let's first play another Antietam song. Then we're going to talk about this two bass thing.
Okay.
No friction here. No black and white. No fine smoke. Just please on love. And I can't believe what's in my mind.
Thank you.
for Pedro show. Chuck started off with Antietam doing the haunting of Rocky Face Ridge. Then Simone Sims Longo with Jonah. A Produce, the Far Shore. And then Stretcher with the Debris. But we'll get to Stretcher next hour. I want to get into Antietam because, especially for those days, a band, a rock band with two bass guitars. Now, you know, Duke Ellington did two basses and John Coltrane, right? Live in Seattle.
Yep.
Two basses, yeah.
Yep.
Tell me what was, because it sounds like you joined Antietam or are you a founding member? How was, because you said those two friends from Louisville approach you in Vermont.
Yeah, but I'm a founding member. You know, they
so
me,
whose idea is two basses?
Well, it wasn't an idea. It was just that Tim and I are both bass players in our heart and, you know, didn't want to play one of those little rinky-dinky six-string, you know, plinky-plinky instruments.
Well, that sounds like an idea.
Neither of us would give up.
Okay. Oh, I wouldn't budge off. Yeah.
No.
You know, I read the fucking Dick Lloyd book, and he's like, with Richard Hell writing television, like, who's, I don't want, you know, I'm Richard. And Richard Lloyd is like, no, I'm Richard too. Like, they wouldn't back down, right? Like, okay. My pop was never called Richard. And in fact, that was his middle name, and I never heard him called James or anything. Maybe the Navy called him that.
Yeah.
It's a trip about that stuff. So you didn't, so that was it. You're obstinate. We're both going to be bass players. So it wasn't like, let's make a band with two bass players. It's like, we're not, yeah, okay. What came, I mean, right away, that's a way to try to get your own sound, right? Because there's not a lot of that going on. Like I said, those bebop guys and stuff are jazz thing. So what's the idea? Like, you don't have a role model to look to, right?
No, it was pretty hard. We couldn't just play what we, you know, the first bass line that came to mind. We really had to work on those things. And, you know, I submitted this Gospel According to John B to you because you can hear pretty well us working our parts together. And to me, it sounds like, you know, like a kind of an orchestra string section or something underneath the raging guitars. So you end up with, we're not playing unison lines. We pretty much never did that. So two different parts that weaved in and out, and became super, sometimes it would sound like a bass chord.
I have some experience with this, but
yes, you
it's
do.
Not supporting a rock band. It's like only two basses.
Yeah.
Which was what we did was work the holes.
Yep.
Yeah. Because you're in this narrow frequency, and I mean, it's a bet with the rhythm section for a, you know, rock band or jazz band, any kind of a rhythm band. But yeah, alone, man. You either got to work the holes or you're going to be, there's going to be, you know.
Train wrecks.
Right, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So that's it. Okay, so how was the songwriting done in Antietam?
It was, you know, all the different ways that bands write songs.
You said you brought this song, The Haunting of Rocky Face Ridge, right?
No,
Gospel According to John B. You brought that one.
Well, no, I submitted it to you for the show today. That was probably started from that Tara's guitar jam, and Tim and I just worked our parts out.
Okay. So the bass never came first. The bass never came first because I'm wondering how you and the other bassists like arrived at your parts.
Well, some of the songs. So Tara would bring in songs on her own. I would bring songs in all on my own. So MV Augusta is, you know, I brought all those bass parts in, and I didn't, you know, I'm not telling Tara what to play or anything, but I mean, that's how the song started, was with all those bass lines. It's a pretty wacky form there.
Oh, yeah.
And the rest of the band comes up with their part. Sometimes we would just jam something out, which is, I think, how the Gospel According to John B came, but also Tara and I would bring in fully formed songs or, you know, that last song, Rocky Face Ridge, I think I brought in a couple of parts, and one of the parts is Tara's.
So it's a collab.
Yeah.
Makes sense. It's trippy the way. I think that Cop Shoot Cop band had two basses.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back, you know, bands. There are some like rock bands with the drums and guitars that use two basses too, but not a lot. Probably a lot of bands. I remember seeing the first time I saw Sammy Hagar, he was with Ronnie Montrose, and they had actually like Doors with the left hand and the keyboard, organ, you know.
What?
Yeah. More room in the boat, maybe. I don't know. We're at the end of the second hour, July 10, 2023. And just while Peter's a special guest, Wolf Knapp, hold tight for hour three. July 10, 2023. It's the third hour of the Waffle Pedro Show.
wash away these blues. Tell me the news. And where got in the way.
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the third hour. Stretcher, live, doing Game. Then Akimbo. Here's some more Friends of Jealous alternative channel stuff. Weasel Rope from Akimbo. Actually, this is before, but they were around. Freak Accident, also from the city. Outer Space is Boring. Paul Watson, brand new. Wash Away These Blues. Tim Hohouse, Frank. And then Baba Rum. I think this is your six-string bass band. With Carl Knows. But what happens with Antietam?
Antietam, so we did the second album and played two tracks from. And then, basically, I've been listening to too much Charlie Parker. And felt like my own path to wherever I was going to go. I need a different surrounding, so I resign from Antietam. But Antietam is still going strong. This year.
And maybe if you're a two-bass band, when you lose one of them, so they can keep going.
You don't have to go find a bass player.
That's it.
So, they've been a power trio since I left, and they do a record every 3 years, and they still kick ass. They kick ass. And,
we're talking like 30 years, right? We're talking more than 30 years.
Yeah. 1984, we 39 years.
39, almost,
right?
40 years. Yeah, fuck.
But without you,
it's been like over 30.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And so what do? You go to music school, right?
In between, there was a couple years there where I did some road tours. That's where I met
Michael and Christmas.
We're opening for the Hooskers with Christmas. Yeah, so for like 5 weeks opening for the Hooskers, which was incredible. I did a short tour as a bass player in Yola Tango when their bass player had a visa issue, which was great. And then Opal, about 5 weeks with Opal, too, mostly opening for Jesus and Mary Chain. So
was
all
Hope
those were great adventures.
Was Hope singing, or was it Kendra?
It was. So Kendra quit in New York.
Okay.
And the SST guys knew me and got in touch with me. When I joined, it was me on bass and Hope on vocals. And it was her first gig outside of, Santa Monica or something.
Well, she's East LA. She had her own band originally before David.
Okay. Her first band outside LA. We rehearsed in our space, in my space in Hoboken, and the first gig was in Cleveland. And we were driving there; it snowed, and I'm pretty sure Hope said it was the first time she'd seen snow.
Oh, I believe that. I totally believe that. She's SoCal and great singer.
That was good. She's just a great singer with incredible stage presence. That was really fun to play with.
David had another band.
Keith on drums was just great to stand there next to him. He's so solid.
Oh yeah, Keith. Yeah, David had a band before that called Rain Parade.
Oh yeah, they were great.
And he left them to do Opal. I think. I think of that Syd Barrett song. You know Opal?
That's okay. Probably the reference. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And. What about the – we've got to hit people to the Stretcher thing. When's that come?
So that's after jazz school.
Okay. So being a side mouse there, and then you go to jazz school, and then you do Stretcher. Okay, yeah. What about the jazz school? Because that's interesting. Reggie fucking Workman, he's still around. He's the last guy from that scene.
Yeah.
Well, Roy Haynes, he's 98, 99. Marshall Allen.
I saw Roy Haynes with Alice Coltrane and Reggie. That was, I think, maybe the greatest gig I ever saw. But anyways, so I did this touring thing and just listening to a lot of Charlie Parker. On the Opal tour, I had the real book with me, and after the gig, I'd be practicing Oprah Bob and stuff like that. I wangled my way into an audition for the New School, which is a great jazz program. And the first time I attempted to play jazz with real jazz musicians was my audition. And I stood there in the theater. I got up on the stage after another bass player. And I look out, front row is Reggie Workman.
Yeah.
My heart just sank to the bottom of my toes. It's just like, this is nuts. So I played a few choruses of the blues, and then he sort of waved me off, and then I went to another little room where there was Chico Hamilton.
Whoa, great drummer, man.
Yeah, I mean, he was playing piano and just sort of managing a little jam session, just figuring out who could read a chord chart or, you know, knew their modes and could keep a, you know, if I could walk a simple bar from the bass line. And, yeah, I got in. I know people who didn't get in. So that was amazing. I spent the next 3.5 years there. And I got my first real bass instructor there who's just unbelievable. This guy named Ray L. Wesley Grant. And he connected me with the guy who made my 6-string fret list, who also made guitars for Kevin Eubanks, and Pat Martino. Anyways, that's in the weeds,
well,
I guess.
Talking about the 6-string bass, let's play some Bubba Rump.
All right.
Thank you.
from Pedro Show. Last music for this edition, Baba Rum with Baba Rum. Eponymous. Okay, Rock Kalam Bob Moses, great drummer man.
Oh, yeah.
With Damon Smith, they got a duo, and this is True Martyr. Walking after that, Prodge from Derek Moneyputty. He lives out in the desert here. Laser Hits Target, all one word, of course. And then finally, Baba Rum with Saint Guy. So we got to back up a little bit. Well, actually, it's after the school. So you got the six string. Do you play six string bass in Stretcher?
Yeah, I do. Fretted, though. Yeah. So jazz school and Baba Rum, I was playing the fretless. And then you can tell by the sound of Stretcher. Like, I just needed the frets to cut through the mix. So that's what I did there.
Yeah. And what was New York City guys?
I put Nat in the Village Voice. Classically, it's a third band, right? And that's where I found Vanda Deshabi to co-lead the band. Funny thing is that he had been a student at the New School the same time as me. We'd never been in the same ensembles or class, but had seen each other around. Anyways, it was a good connection because we could work really fast.
Well, let me ask you this about New School. Did you make good connects there?
Well, here's the thing. I kind of walked away from the jazz world about a year after I graduated because I was really inspired by what was going on in the rock scene. There's a lot of California bands. It was, you know, Rage,
sure.
Tool,
sure.
And then Soundgarden, and I just felt like that old thing down in my heart. When I got into jazz school, I thought I'd be a jazz guy, a jazz lifer, but somehow I wanted to be surrounded by loud electric guitars again.
Well, Soundgarden's a little Washington State, but they did have some SST records.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And
So then Dana had he actually had a friend from where he's from in Virginia, I think, who finally found a drummer. I think we auditioned 50 vocalists.
Wow.
Got our singer.
Now, does Baba Rum end, and then you do Stretcher, or are they concurrent? Oh, okay, they are sequential, okay.
Yeah, so I was doing Baba Rum, and then I was doing one-off. Sometimes I was in, like, seven bands all doing original material, and I just felt stretched really thin. That's not, no pun intended there. And I decided I really wanted to focus, and I liked just being in a single rock band where everybody's committed to it. So that's what got me to try and start Stretcher.
But then, you know, looking at your PDF, I guess you lay off music for a number of years.
Yeah, it's true. So Stretcher, we were like 5 years of really intensive gigging in the city, a little bit of East Coast stuff, and just weren't getting anywhere. I mean, we were either ahead of our time or behind our time. We could not get a fan base, and I just burnt out. And honestly, I played in that band for about a year longer than I should have, to the point where it wasn't even fun to pick up the bass anymore.
Yeah, but I thought you started the band with an ad.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so if the guy who starts the band ain't into it.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, a little bit. No, man. Okay, so then what happens? It says in the PDF you go to the porch.
Yes, that's exactly what I did. I put that Washburn in his case, and I did not open the case for 10 years. I did not touch a bass guitar.
Whoa.
Yep.
The guy who fucking gets the audition with Chico Hamilton and Reggie Workman in the front row.
Yeah.
Just won't get it out of the case. Okay.
Yeah, it was I just lost. I didn't have it anymore. I didn't have it. After a while, I got bored of not playing anything, so I got an acoustic guitar and started playing some blues on the porch. So that was pretty good for a while. 10 years. A couple of years ago, though, my life, I got some more time on my hands, and I got a bass around the house in case someone wanted to come over to jam and play bass, and then I picked up the bass. They're like, well, what was this like again? And pretty immediately realized I'm still a bass player, so I'm back at it now. I got nothing new to play for you or anything, but I'm playing bass every day.
And what about as far as playing with other people? You got a prod? You got a band?
Well, I'm writing and arranging, and I got a drummer in the neighborhood who says he's in. We haven't played yet, but, you know, I don't want to put too much pressure on myself or anybody else, but that's the idea, though. The idea is to get something together.
Yeah, because, you know, things come in cycles, and maybe it was just time to, you know, take a break, and now you come back. All that stuff in your life you invested with it, it might now, with your experiences, come back pretty trippy and interesting. I can't wait to see what you come up with.
Well, I appreciate that, Watt. I really appreciate that. And what you said is true. Even the 10-year detour of playing guitar,
yeah,
I learned a lot of stuff that now that I'm only playing bass, that guitar stuff is really helpful. So, anyways, things happen for a reason. Yeah, and we'll see.
Can I put out an invite when you get music recorded with the new Proj?
Absolutely. You'll be the first to hear.
Yeah, well, I want to invite you back on the show so we can play it and talk about it.
I'm in. That sounds amazing.
You in?
Sounds
okay. Great. That's beautiful. No pressure. Like Mr. Wells learned us, no wine before it's time.
There you go.
But, you remember those? I think that was the last work he did was those commercials.
Yeah. He was just trying to raise money for his films.
Yeah. I think so. That $2 Chuck shit was terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, he really wanted to bring Shakespeare to good movie versions. He wanted to get his King Lear or something.
Yeah, and he couldn't afford costumes, so they did use towels.
Oh, man, I heard about all kinds of stuff. Guerrilla film making. That F is for fake, right? He was doing that on the...
Yeah,
incredible cat. I got to meet him once outside Pink's in Hollywood. He had a chili dog in each hand, and that man was big. I mean, he was tall. He was wide like a barn door.
Yeah.
Anyway, I go, Mr. Wells, you said, young man, I'd shake your hand, but I am busy.
<That's great.
laughs> I said, no problem, Mr. Wells. Anyway, it was beautiful getting to talk to you again after all these years, truly.
I've had a great time, Mike. Thanks so much.
Yeah, and I can't wait to have you back on. Okay.
Sounds great. All right.
Okay, people, July 10, 2023 edition of Wild Pedro Show. Keep your fire dry.